WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, and I am Kevin Tachi, and I will be here until 8 p.m., and we have a fantastic lineup. I know I say it every week, but I think I pay off in the end. When the clock strikes 8, you know that you've had great information and great conversation, and tonight is going to be no different. We'll start things off with State Senator Patrick O'Connor. He's here warming up in the bullpen. He'll be joining us in just a couple of moments right after traffic. Bunch of things to talk about. The first, we got the dastardly COVID and where things stand with the numbers, and we'll also talk a little bit about some bills, Narrow's bill, maybe an update on that, and Chapter 90 infrastructure funding, how things are going with his particular district. So we look forward to talking with him about that. Following the senator, we have Paul Polyvenuto, and he is a retired United flight attendant. And he's going to come in and talk to us a little bit about Polly's Push. This is a fundraiser. He's doing it for the folks who didn't make it, the ones who were on the United Airlines and those who were part of the 9/11, the planes that flew into the World Trade Center and in Washington. And this is going to be an interesting conversation. He's going to talk to us about pushing an airline beverage cart from Logan Airport to Ground Zero. We're going to find out about that journey and fundraisers that he has coming up. Hour number two. And we have an opportunity to speak with Matt Rose. He is a spokesman and a driver for app-based rideshare delivery drivers who actually support a ballot question right here in the Commonwealth for benefits and for added flexibility for those drivers. He'll give us all the reasons why there should be such a ballot question, I believe, coming in 2022. So stay tuned for that. And then we'll wrap things up. We'll talk a little theater. We have Donald Sheehan and Victoria Bond from True Repertory Theater. And we are going to talk a little bit about their upcoming show. It's called Into the Woods, the musical. And I guess it's a little backstory, because I believe that one of the actors in this says that Donald is very persuasive when it comes to talking a little bit about doing a musical, that this individual has never done a musical, and Donald was able to talk them into doing it. And these are shows that are going to be coming up this month, so we'll talk a little bit about that. So you've got an idea as to what the was on the itinerary. Time for us to turn our attention to what's happening out on the roadways one final time this afternoon. Being brought to you by Brendan's Smoke Shop, online at brendansmokeshop.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now Hudson, New Hampshire. And giving us the final report is Lisa DeMilo. How are things out there, Lisa?
Well, Kevin, you know, there is still heavy volume leaving the city on the expressway southbound from the tunnel to the on-ramp from Freeport Street. Then you're slow from Furnace Brook to the split. Northbound is tough from Adams Street to Freeport Street. Route 3 South spotty delays from the expressway down towards Derby Street. And after Route 139, most of the way down to Long Pond Road. 93 North is backed up from 95 to Route 138 and from Ponkapog to Route 24. Southbound's busy from Route 37 to Route 24. Route 24 South, that's tied up from 93 to the Horse Bridge. And reports of a crash along the way coming down off 93. Again, that's unconfirmed. This report is sponsored by General Dynamics IT. GDIT delivers the art of possible, accelerating the power of digital modernization from AI to cloud to cyber. Learn more at GDIT.com. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Mallory, this has been, like, the best, worst summer ever.
Why do you say that, Jeffrey?
The weather.
Oh, yeah, the weather. The boat sure looks great in the backyard.
The retro 1987 Quadrajet 350 Mercruiser.
That's not currently working.
What about playing your cousin's golf tournament?
It did not stop raining.
All
the entire day. Well, Jeff, at least it was close to the new Brennan Smoke Shop in Hudson, New Hampshire.
Ah, that's what makes it the best worst summer ever. Hudson, New Hampshire, Brennan Smoke Shop.
Your pal Joe Healy just installed the signs.
My pal from high school, Mass Sign and Decal. Well, this is New England, and honestly, I thought commuting to New Hampshire every day in the rain was going to be a big deal, but it's really not that far.
It's really not that bad of a ride.
It's really not that long of a ride to tax-free Hudson, New Hampshire. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in the world. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and as always, proper ID is required.
Have
Happy a better summer.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We are back here on Monday Night Talk. Our first guest is none other than State Senator Patrick O'Connor. And I want to thank you, Senator, for flying on down here. I believe you came straight here from the State House. How was your day up on the Hill?
It was great. Kevin, first off, thank you for having me and to all the listeners in WATD. Great to be with you tonight. We had the honor of having an informal session today where we adjourned in honor of Danny Sheehan. And I probably got here about 10 minutes before, so I took a little ride down to Brant Rock. And coming back on 139, I saw the signs that were put up by Marshfield Hockey, and it really just reinforces what an unbelievably supportive community Marshfield is. And in the 8 short years that Danny had on this earth, the impact that he made, especially amongst people throughout this community, including myself, and, you know, just such a tragic loss so early. And it was an honor to be able to speak a little bit about him to my colleagues in the Senate today and to adjourn in his honor. And my heart, and I know that the entire South Shores collective heartbeat, goes out to the Sheehan family in their time right now.
Indeed, indeed. And it's interesting you say that, because I saw the same thing on my way here, driving by one of the station sponsors, Cabillions, and they had a sign out there for Danny, and heaven has gained a superhero. And It's touching, and knowing that the community has really, kind of given a hug to this family and understanding the situation. It's great to live in communities like this on the South Shore.
It is. You look around, you see the Aqua Dan mural here, and him being an honorary member of the police department, and everybody really came together to make his 8 short years, and especially the 4 that he struggled with brain cancer, so memorable for him and his family. And that's what community is all about, and I'm just really honored to be able to represent a community that puts such an emphasis on making sure that people feel comfortable and feel loved.
Tough to segue away from a heartfelt moment like that, but also kind of talk about what's going on here. We're enduring more issues, COVID related issues. What are we looking at? What are you getting for information these past 24 hours, 48 hours in regards to COVID here in the Commonwealth?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we've taken a step back with the Delta variant, and knowing that this virus has figured out a way to make itself more contagious. That's unequivocal. And, you know, now it's continuing the push to get as many people vaccinated as possible. And, you know, I'm very proud of South Shore. when you look at the communities that I represent, you have anywhere between 71% to 87%, whether they be partially or fully vaccinated. And, you know, we need, just need to continue to bring that push up. The Baker administration is really giving a lot of emphasis, and I agree with this approach, to local communities to use their Department of Public Health, their school committees, their medical experts, as well as the Massachusetts Department of Public Health and CDC recommendations and guidance, and, you know, look at what we need to do. I think there's really, there's an interesting, you know, component going out there, and I've thought a lot about this, where you basically have four pockets, in my opinion, of people who are hesitant to get the shot. And I think that it's people who have had medical reactions to previous vaccines, which we've heard from individuals. I think that the second component is the religious exemptions. Then I believe that there are people who are waiting until it gets full FDA approval. And then I think that there's another pocket of people who are very skeptic of the vaccine. And so we in government need to do a better job in reaching these communities and, you know, really highlighting the benefits of getting the vaccine, and not only just to your public health, but to your neighbors, as well as to get us on an even faster pace to completely reopening and getting back out there. I think that we're 90% there. You know, COVID is in some instances in the rear view in some regards, you know, given obviously the news with the variants and other data that's coming in. But we need to continue this push and continue to do what we need to do, because we're seeing the vaccine work. You know, there has been some breakthrough cases, but we're really seeing the vaccine numbers and the efficacy rates in this to be even higher than they thought they were going to be in the initial trials.
Any thought of any contingency plan if we're going into the fall and the winter, knowing it's cold and flu season? It's a matter of, you know, which is which. I will tell you, you saw I walked in, I had a mask on, and I like wearing the mask because, you know what, I haven't had a cold for 2 years.
There you go.
And it, but the thing is we're also dealing with, you know, these mutated, you know, this mutated virus, and it's going to continue to mutate. Are there any whispers up on the hill, you know, that maybe we should consider rolling things back like we did last year? Or is it a matter of push forward because the folks who have been vaccinated aren't affected as badly if there is a breakthrough?
Yeah, so I honestly, speaking to the public health data that we have right now, and obviously things can change in a moment's notice, mm-hmm. especially with different variants and things like that, I think we're going to stay the course. I think that we see the results that we have been able to gain in being able to push for vaccines and the relaxation of the mandates that have been out there. And I think we just need to continue to stay the course and really make this a wartime effort, like had been talked about a long time ago before, and continue to put that push on. Because as I said, you know, we're looking at very good numbers here on the South Shore and other communities that they don't have that same percentages that we have down here, and we need to figure out why that is and do a better job, in my opinion, in government and making sure that that folks get, you know, the information that they need to get the vaccine. You have, you know, sweepstakes and giveaways, you know, $1 million sweepstakes and $300,000 college scholarships and $100 for if you get the shot in your arm from the feds. You know, all that's only going to push the needle so much. I think that the biggest thing that we need to really break through is the misinformation that's going on out there, and then really giving people correct information. And I think that when, you know, we look at this, that's going to be the biggest thing that communities really have to do, is have open, transparent, honest conversations, not arguments, but conversations mm-hmm. that are medically driven and that that lead to results that the community can really come together and unite behind. There's been so many things during COVID that split us up and divided us, and I think it's going to be really important that as we continue to move forward, we come together as a South Shore, as a Commonwealth, and we continue to stay the course and do the best that we possibly can to beat this back until we get back to, you know, fully life as it was.
Let's talk a little bit how the state has been recovering economically, and knowing that there's been an assist from the federal government with the American Rescue Plan Act. That money, how is that really assisted this state, those monies from the federal government?
So when we went into this in March of 2020, we had fully anticipated that this was going to be an awful budget year, and that we were going to make substantial cuts, and that, you know, it may take years and years to recover. The exact opposite happened. The fiscal year that encompassed most of 2020 just ended on June 30th of 2021, and we actually ended with a $4 billion surplus from a budget that we had already increased before, knowing and seeing the tax returns come in well. And in addition to that, we came into COVID with a $3.5 billion rainy day fund stabilization account, and now that account is at $5.6 billion, so we've added over $2 billion to that. And then the third pocket of money that we have is the $5.3 billion that's coming from the American Rescue Plan straight to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that we're holding hearings on right now to try and figure out what the best way is to invest that money to have the biggest impact on the most amount of areas that we look at, whether it be economic development, housing, healthcare, continuing to our push to be and always be the best in services for public education and veterans and the disabled. So it's really we're really in great financial position, and that in my opinion is due in large part to the resiliency of the businesses and the people of this state that have been able to work through a pandemic and actually grow our economy more than any economist ever thought we would.
It's fantastic. And you have until, when does the state have until to actually allocate those ARPA funds?
So a lot of it's until 2024 is sort of the way in which the guidance is set. But a lot of that money, the governor and myself want to get out the door to really prioritize housing and home ownership, economic development, local downtown improvements, workforce development, job training, infrastructure, all of these things that we've been talking about for a long time. And, you know, pre-COVID, you know, for decades we've been talking about, we never had this opportunity to actually have the resources, the financial resources, to invest into all these things all at once. And I really think it's going to continue to boost our economy and to allow more and more people to see the great opportunity that there is living and working and owning a business in Massachusetts.
Let's kind of move forward here a little bit. Any legislature that's been in the works, anything that you've been doing work on? For folks who don't know what it is, this piece of legislation, Nero's Bill, give us a little background on it and any updates that there are on it.
Absolutely. So Nero's Bill was filed not this session, but last session. And realistically, Kevin, every single bill, once COVID hit, kind of was, it was just put on the back burner and everything was focused on our response. And so Nero's Bill happened to be one of them. Nero was Sergeant Sean Gannon's canine, and when Sean Gannon was murdered, Nero was also shot and badly injured. And though several ambulances and various other rescue personnel were on the scenes, officers said that neither equipment or skills were available to Nero because state law prohibits licensed medical professionals from treating or transporting police canines. And this bill would allow for that to happen. And unfortunately, we saw another instance of this with Canine Kit in Braintree, just a month and a half ago, where, he, as a police dog and as a canine, really came to the rescue from all the reports and, really assisted the police officers in that scene. And this bill would give these canines that opportunity. And the only pushback that we've ever gotten, because a lot of people ask, this is a no-brainer, how come it doesn't get done? First off, that's my biggest frustration in the legislature, is that everything takes too long and goes through a process. But hey, it's transparent, it's vetted, it is what the electorate wants. This bill in particular, people are saying, oh, well, what if, that medical personnel or ambulance was needed for a human being? And that wouldn't be the case, because in any instances like this, when you look at what happened in Braintree just a few months ago, there was medical personnel and equipment from every single surrounding community. And those that sent there, they had, mutual aid that were protecting their communities at that time. So where we're at with this right now is that in July, we had a hearing on this bill, and I joined over 40 colleagues in submitting testimony to say that now's the time that we should be working to treat and transport working animals when they're injured in the line of duty. And I give a lot of credit to Representative Xaros, who's from the Cape, who's a great guy, who's been a leader on this, and former Representative Will Crocker, who had originally filed the bill, back last session. So both of them have worked incredibly hard on this, and I do hope that this is going to be something that we're able to get accomplished this year and something we see moving forward. And, you know, the ultimate goal is hopefully we'll never have to use this, because that incidents like this, these tragedies that are happening to our law enforcement, just, you know, don't continue to happen.
Where is it in the process right now? Has it been sent to committee? Are we waiting for it to report out of committee?
So it's being awaited to be reported out of committee. Mm-hmm. But after it had its hearing and the amount of support and co-sponsors it has, and again, one of those things where the only real instance that we've heard of people who have been, you know, even questioning the bill, that's just something that, in my opinion, isn't a logical reason to hold it up.
If we're talking legislation, I guess there was a passage of legislation in regards to the untested rape kits.
Yeah, this was something that, you know, when this came out, it was incredibly disappointing to see sort of where we are as a state, where it was revealed that due to a legal loophole earlier this year, that 6,300 rape kits that had been submitted to our state police crime lab dating back to the year 2000 had not been tested. And once this was discovered and this loophole was exposed, the legislature immediately filed legislation that I was proud to co-sponsor and support. And it was in our budget that we were able to pass this. And so under this new law that was signed in by the governor, passed by the legislature, the state police crime lab has 180 days from the passage of that to really decide which kits can be tested without destroying the evidence associated with it, which kits should be sent to outside labs. And it also requires our DAs to notify survivors about the old kits and whether they can be tested and where the status is of their case. And I just think that it's unacceptable that we have a system in place that fails, you know, for over two decades to the tune of, you know, almost 300 a year, 6,300 individual rape kits. So this is something that we really needed to fix. And I'm glad that we're all working collectively to fix loopholes like this in a bipartisan fashion, because these are the things that people don't want to see happen. And unfortunately, you know, in our crime labs, we've had some national attention have been brought to them in recent years. And this is one of the ones that, you know, is just another unfortunate circumstance of where the state police crime lab is right now.
And are these pending cases with these tests that would have been corroborated if, in fact, they were going to trial?
Some were, and that's kind of what we're trying to figure out right now, because there's so many of them that we don't know the real circumstance. So in 180 days, my hope is that we've processed and logged quite a bit of these, and that we actually get a clearer picture on what was specifically associated with these kits, that what was the reason they weren't tested, how damning was this to the prosecution in trying to convict individuals, and then on top of that, you know, how do we make sure this never happens again? Because this in Massachusetts, and, you know, what I consider, you know, the area where we have the greatest healthcare and resources, and, you know, we talked about all of the financial resources we have, these slip-ups like this shouldn't happen.
All right, we get to choose here. Spin the wheel. We need to talk Chapter 90 infrastructure funding or biomass regulations, the proposal.
Sure, we can do biomass. I think that this is important, especially in this neck of the woods. So the Department of Energy Resources recently put out a blanket policy to ban biomass, which is basically wood-fired power plants, from existing in 90% of the state. And the way that they determined that was any environmental justice neighborhood, which is a very very broad definition of environmental justice, which I support. But because of this, they basically said any 5-mile radius from an environmental justice neighborhood is excluded from having these incentivized through renewable energy tax credits, incentivized biomass. And so what we basically said was, well, why are we excluding all but 35 communities in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts? And included in those communities are Duxbury, is Marshfield, is Scituate, Cohasset, Kingston. You know, there's South Shore communities. The majority of them are out in western Massachusetts. But myself and six of my colleagues got together. I was able to pen a letter to basically say, look, we appreciate the step that DOER has taken in order to disincentivize this from taking place in 90% of Massachusetts, but if you're going to go 90% and you're going to send the message out there that Massachusetts is basically no longer in the business of biomass, of which approximately 1,200 tons of wood would get burned every single day, if we're no longer in that business, then we shouldn't exclude 90% and leave 10% vulnerable. We should be excluding every single community in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and it just so happens that we were able to represent them. But you know, we've put on fights before, given the compressor station and other things that we don't agree with that are happening in the environmental space, the environmental policy space, and this is certainly one of them. And we're going to continue to fight this, and hopefully DOER changes their regs and make sure that there's never going to be a wood burning power plant here in Marshfield or anywhere else in the South Shore, or for that matter, anywhere in the Commonwealth.
It's definitely good to know. I know that there are a lot of folks who are fighting things like compressor stations. I know in the greater Brockton area, they're fighting a gas-fired power plant. And just to know that there's yet another, you know, source of pollutant, it's interesting to see that at least legislation, at least the regulations that are being proposed to try to put a stop to this.
I think it's a good first step that the governor and his team did, but, you know, to exclude 90% and leave 10% out there, I think it's just categorically unfair, and it makes no sense, in my opinion. I don't think that there's a lot of logic behind that specific regulation. If we're going to, you know, go for 90%, we might as well go for 100% and make sure that this... What we once considered to be a renewable, but now we understand is not, because of the pollutions and
sure.
Masses of soot and harmful, you know, pollutions and air quality and surrounding communities, all of these things that come with it, we know that it's no longer something that we should accept as a renewable energy in the Commonwealth.
Learn from our mistakes.
Absolutely.
That's what we should do. Have you had a chance to at least do anything fun with your summer, or have you just been work like some of us?
You know, I love going to the events that we have. You know, the July 4th parades were great.
Did you do Scituate Heritage Days?
Yeah, we were there. We gave out koozies. One side was the Scituate Heritage Day 2021. The other side was sort of like our logo. But I was down there yesterday, listening to some of the bands. My nephew Declan was down there, my four-year-old nephew, so was able to bring him on some of the rides. And nice. It was just the South Shore builds that in where, you know, you don't have to necessarily escape from the South Shore. People come to the South Shore, and the South Shore puts on quite a show during the summertime. I know Levitate was last night,
yep.
Last couple nights. So, you know, just really good stuff happened on the South Shore. A lot of investment going on here, some of which we got to, some of which we haven't. And I look forward to coming back on again and really talking about all the great stuff that not just, you know, we're doing on Beacon Hill, but people down here are doing and making our jobs a lot easier because they're providing such amazing services to people and hands up to folks who need it the most. So keep on going, South Shore. It's such an honor to represent it.
Senator, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thanks, Kevin.
We are going to step aside to have a great conversation with State Senator Patrick O'Connor. We're going to move on. Time to push Polly's Push. Coming up in just a moment here on 95.9 WATD. You're tuned into Monday Night Talk.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck, snap back or rock. Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown, and it pays to stay way back. And thank you.
Hey, it's John Shea here from Almost Famous Radio, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England every Tuesday night, 8 to 10, brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass. Coming up tomorrow night, another full night of local bands and musicians, and we'll be joined on the WATD Tiny Stage by singer-songwriter Bobby Kane. That's tomorrow, 8 to 10, right here on 95.9 WATD and 95.9WATD.com.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Right, we are back. And we move on. Joining us right now, you got to tell me if I'm saying your last name right. Forgive me. So is it Venito?
Venito. That's
very
Venito.
Good. Hey, yo, Paulie. Hey. We have Kevin Stevens here and the silent partner in the room, Kelly, back in the room. This particular event is, first off, let's talk a little bit. You got a fundraiser that's coming up later this week, right? And you get the big push-off event that's coming up on the 21st. Mm-hmm. But for folks who don't know who you are, Paulie, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us your story.
Well, I'm an ex-flight attendant that worked for United Airlines. I come in the night before at 8 o'clock at night. I landed and the crew that went out the next morning on Flight 175. It was the second plane that hit the towers.
Wow.
I proceeded in an opiate addiction right after 9/11, and so I know, looking back now, that I'm clean and sober now, that I wasn't obviously functioning in the normal process of going through grieving or whatever you do. I was numbed out for years, and what was bothering me every year was that these crew members weren't recognized for their heroics that morning. And every year the anniversary would come up and I would think about why, you know, their family members, and why isn't anybody recognizing what they did under those conditions at 8 o'clock in the morning? Why, you know, it just amazed me that every year would come up, and every year, and it would fuel my addiction. I couldn't comprehend it, and I understood why it happened, the enormity of that day. There was so much that went on, and so many people that were recognized for what they did, the heroics as firemen, policemen, and everybody else that helped out during 9/11, that overshadowed what went on right away at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right. The folks who were on those planes, the folks who, you know, who beverage first, carts, the pilots.
First responders, they were on 9/11, these flight attendants. And under those conditions, but no, you know, after what happened with the pilots, you know, I don't like to be gruesome about it, but it wasn't a pretty picture going on at 8 o'clock in the morning. But we know from phone calls that these flight attendants made that the calmness in their voices, and they were giving us the information of where these terrorists were seated so they could, how they put this thing all together, it came from the flight attendants. Now, while that was going on, these phone calls, there were, can you imagine the insane environment on that cabin? These flight attendants knew they weren't coming out of there, right, but they still had to comfort these people the best they could, and they did, we know from phone calls. It was so somebody should have, somewhere along the line, should have, nobody's to blame, but I just feel like it's long overdue that they were recognized for really the heroics. So thank you God I got sober and clean on time. It's like a perfect storm that I'm able to do this, to recognize them. And I'm pushing a beverage cart from Logan Airport all the way to Ground Zero in New York for the 20th anniversary to recognize the heroics of these flight attendants.
Now we have Kevin Stevens here, who's with Power Forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Power Forward is a sponsor of this event.
Yes. Yeah, I've been friends with Paulie for a long time, you know, and he's... You know, we got sober, kind of around, he got sober a little bit before me, but we've known each other for a long time, and he kind of put this idea together, then he came to my sister, like we all do. We kind of use my, we kind of go to my sister for everything, so it's kind of like...
Like the point person.
Yeah, so she kind of put it, she was the one that kind of gave us, you know, the okay that she could help us out and help Paulie out, and I've pretty much been in the background. I just talk to him and support him, and... Like I said, I'm good friends with him, and he's doing a great thing, and you know, for what he's doing it. And all we can do is support him and give him the love that everybody wants to see him do it, and it's good stuff.
And this isn't just a local story. This is a national story. This is, you know, People Magazine. You know, you got different media outlets from around the country that are following this.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? What do you guys think of that, Kevin?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the way that I knew it would be a big story, and I knew it would be big, and, you know, when I first got out there and it started to grow legs, it was, and people heard about it, it was, you know, it's one of those things that it's kind of, you know, to hear it, it's kind of mind-boggling, right? You think about someone who's going to push a beverage cart from Logan to Ground Zero, and like, you know, what do you mean he's going to push a beverage cart? Then it started to grow legs, and my sister got involved, and then it just started to grow, and everybody got behind it, and Paulie's got no choice. He's got to walk from Hogan to Ground Zero, even if he doesn't want to. He's heading out to Ground Zero, so he's got a lot of walking to go ahead of him, but he's ready for it. He's been working hard.
Where did the idea come from? Where did the idea come from saying, I want to celebrate the 20th anniversary of this tragedy, but I want to honor those who have haven't necessarily been recognized as also being heroes during this event?
Well, I knew I had to do something that would get national attention. I knew that because these crew members' families are from all over the country. So I couldn't do something that would just be local in the news because of these family members are from everywhere.
Right.
So it needed to be something extraordinary. Now, to me, it's not extraordinary. As far as I'm concerned, I don't understand why everyone's making a big deal about me pushing a beverage cart. I really don't.
Well, it's technically like you doing 10 marathons.
Well,
it's 200 miles, right?
Yeah.
It's a 200-mile route.
But,
it's just like you're going to be doing 10 marathons.
Yeah, but you know something?
That's huge.
But what they did on that airplane was huge. That's the way I look at it. I really do. And people say, why don't you put better wheels on it, easier wheels? And, I don't care. If I have to carry it on my back, that's how I feel. The reason I'm doing it, the beverage cart, is because everybody, I could have walked to New York. I could have ran to New York. And everyone, oh, look at that guy. He's running. But I knew the minute I brought this beverage cart out, eventually they would put it together. This guy must have something to do with an airplane or what? Let's ask him. Let's find out. And sure enough, the second day I had that cart out, a guy asked me, and it just went viral because he couldn't believe what I was doing. And so I accomplished my mission. Already, it got national coverage. I really did, but it's growing, and now what's happening is it's helping more people than what I just wanted to recognize these crew members, and now the recovery community is involved, which is huge. The people that are getting hope and all everything that's come along with it is it's amazing to me, and I'm okay with that. But still, the number one thing for me is to recognize these crew members, and I got to stay on focus with that because that's what brought me to this point. It really has, I'm grateful that I'm sober. But I don't want to go off on a tangent on that. I want to stay. I want to talk about these crew members because really, what they did was unbelievable. It was unbelievable to me that they were able to, because I vision it. I vision what was going on up there. I worked that trip all the time. I knew those crew members. I visioned what they were going through that morning. And it was insane with the pilots taken out and mace being sprayed and the gruesome scene that they're witnessing. And then you hear them on the phone. And the calmness of their voice is mind-boggling to me. When they know that nobody's coming to help them, firemen and policemen, I say it all the time, when they're in trouble, they radio for help. They know if someone's coming. But those crew members, they knew no one was coming. They knew the end was coming. But they still stayed calm enough to take care of the people on the airplane. That's crazy to me.
If you are tuned in, you're listening, you have a chance. Maybe you pop out your phone. Polly'sPush.com. Check out the website. It's a fantastic website. And it's a really well done website. It's especially if you want to find out more about the big upcoming event. August 14th, this Saturday from 7-Eleven at Florian Hall. I believe that they're asking for you to RSVP to get tickets. Again, polly'spush.com. What's going to be happening at this event at Polly's Push? I understand this is going to be one hell of a shindig.
Yeah, well, I got two brothers that are musicians, and both of their bands are playing, the Reminiscence and Self-Esteem.
Okay, Reminiscence just played in Abington.
Yeah. That's my brother, the drummer.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, we get video of him. Okay, good. Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of silent auction, and there's a... raffles going on.
Photos with Kevin Stevens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pictures with Kevin.
Great. All the people in there already had pictures of me, I think. So, it's, yeah. But it'll be fun, yeah. It's going to be a good night to kind of celebrate what Paulie's doing, you know. And that's the biggest thing, is just come out and have some fun and listen to some music, talk, you know, see what's going on. And because he's going to be, the journey starts the next week, you know. It's unbelievable, too. I remember when he first came and said, like, he's going to do it. And, you know, you always say it's going to come quick, you know. It came quick, you know. It's here.
Yeah, it is. It is here. It's, I mean, you're talking not a week from Saturday.
Yeah.
So you're going to be getting behind that cart. Now, are you just pushing it, or is this also going to be kind of a rolling fundraiser?
Well, yeah, I'm sure people, since I've been on the street, it's a fundraiser. People are coming out of their houses, stopping their cars, and turning their cars around, and hearing me change, and whatever. They just, how can we help? It's what's happened is just what happened after 9/11. After 9/11, everybody's, what can we do to help you? And I feel the same vibe going on right now. People are just, it's amazing the stories I'm hearing.
Is there anything that you, other than money, are there any other donations that you might be seeking that'll help you along the way of this, or?
Hotel rooms, yeah.
Oh, yeah, hotel rooms would help along the way, yeah, for the crew that's helping me. And
food. So you got like a team, so this is a team effort.
Yeah, I got two high school friends that are driving an RV alongside. I got a friend coming from Jersey, I think, with a truckload full of energy drinks or something. You know, people.
You'll need those.
Yeah.
You'll definitely need those. Now, you a Red Bull guy or?
No. Okay. I just drink water.
Okay.
Oh, and the sneakers. New Balance donated sneakers for me. So yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So he's getting there. You know, it's everything. You can always have more, right? It's just, but you know, he needs to be able to sleep and put his legs up. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. And, you know, be ready for it.
So just so we're clear here, is the money is going to help 9/11 families, mm-hmm. the nonprofits, Power Forward, which is, we have a Sober Living scholarships mm-hmm. that are given out on a regular basis.
That's a big part of it, too, because with the addiction stuff, you can kind of bring the whole thing full circle, you know. It's about the families, but, you know, we can help people, too. It's great, you know.
Now, have you set now how many miles a day you're going to have to do in order to reach your goal to be there by? You want to be there by 9/11, right?
I will be there by 9/11.
Okay,
I'll be there. If I have to carry it in my back, I'll be there. But I just drove the route, and so to see what I was in for, the terrain. It all depends on the weather. It all depends on a lot of things that come into factor. How many miles I'll do each day, and you know, I it's not a race. And I know I'm going to be held up people coming out, and media is going to stop me.
Yeah, because that's going to be the thing. As you're going along, is you're going to be, you know, it's like when we're driving down Route 3, and it's like taking forever to get past one point. Everybody's turning on, what's going on?
Yeah.
And you're going to be that person. Everybody's going to be going, what's going on? You're going to be pushing that beverage cart.
And there's some tough hills, I'll tell you that. It's worse than Heartbreak Hill, I'll tell you, going through Connecticut.
Yeah. As we get ready to wrap up here, anything that we haven't touched upon, Paulie, or Kevin, but that's important telling about this particular story of Paulie's fundraiser, Paulie's push?
I think the biggest thing, the fundraiser is just to come out. I think it's more of just a gathering, you know, and if, you know, if you can donate money, you donate money, but really just a celebration, you know, of him making it, you know, it's here, you know, this is big stuff, you know, it's big, big stuff, and he's made it, and he's going to do it, and, you know, we're all pulling for him.
Right.
I will mention about a woman that contacted me that her daughter is engaged to Peter Alonso of the New York Mets, and she contacted me and said she heard my story, and told her daughter, and her daughter told her husband-to-be Peter Alonso, and the Mets are playing the Yankees September 11th, the 20th Goodness. Anniversary in New York. When I come in the grounds there, and they invited me to come to the game, invite me on the field for what I'm doing.
You throwing out the first pitch?
I don't know what I'm doing, but
that could be pretty cool.
You know, I couldn't believe that.
What now is it? Is it Yankee Stadium or
no.
City
Bank?
It's in the Mets. Yeah,
I've been to City Field. It's a fantastic field.
Crazy,
fantastic. Yeah. Love the Loge area too.
Yeah,
of all, you know, and I want a national coverage. And if that doesn't get it, nothing. The 20th anniversary, two New York teams, crazy.
So again, if you want tickets for this great event coming up this Saturday from 7 to 11 at Florian Hall, it's Paulie's Push.com. And I also, let's not forget the powerforward.com website. Please visit that as well for scholarship details. Pauly, I wish you the best of luck. Can we find a way for Pauly to come back in September and kind of give us, I want to kind of get the details of what it was like, how many pairs of sneakers you went through, some of the things that happened along the way, because you're going to have people that are going to come and greet you and say hi to you, and I want to hear those stories.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank Kelly and Kevin for coming in tonight as well.
Thank you.
And we wish you the best of luck.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That concludes the first hour of Monday Night Talk. When we come back, hour number two, I promise. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Massachusetts Army National Guard. Aired by the Massachusetts Broadcasters Association and this station.
By the middle of the week, so much news has come your way, you need your own team to sort it out. Lucky for you, there's Jared Valenzuela and the JV team to talk about the things you've heard and catch you up on some things you might not know.
I'm Jared Valenzuela. Join me and my guests as we have fun with current events and try to put things into perspective each week. Sponsored by Representative David DeCoste and Corey Welch of Boom Realty. Catch the JV team every Wednesday night at 6:15 here on 95.9 WATD.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we return for hour number two of Monday Night Talk. Later this hour, we'll speak with Donald Sheehan, Victoria Bond, Into the Woods, the musical. True Repertory Theater. They're going to be putting that on later this month. We'll talk about that. But right now, we are going to talk a little bit about myth versus facts. This is the benefits of flexibilities for drivers in regards to a ballot question that's in the works, a proposal that could possibly be on the 2022 state ballot. And joining us right now is Matt Rose. Matt is a driver for an app-based ride share. He's also, I called him a spokesman. He walked in, I go, I get you as a spokesman. He goes, well, I'm a driver. I go, well, you're coming in to talk about it. That makes you a spokesperson. So he's gained another title. Now, I don't know if there's a ballot question for being a spokesperson. But you can at least talk to the benefits here that are being proposed. Now, what ride share are you part of?
I'm actually part of every ride share in the state.
No kidding.
As well as multiple delivery services throughout the state.
Okay. So. And this particular, if it passes, first, if it gets on the ballot and then passes, it's going to benefit. You're going to get benefits. There'll be benefits, and it'll add flexibility. Well, how does it add flexibility with benefits?
Well, we have flexibility now.
Right.
That's what we're trying to keep. It adds the benefits by creating a stipend. So each company that we work for will give us a certain amount for every hour that we're engaged. So at the end of each quarter, they're going to pay that into us, into our accounts.
Okay. Now, were you part of this? My understanding is that there was a gathering last week?
Yes.
At the State House?
Yes.
And also in Springfield at the City Hall to kind of talk about the proposed, at least rally about the proposed ballot question.
Yes, I was there.
What was that like?
It was good. We had a fairly decent turnout, I mean, given the pandemic and people still staying at home. But we did have quite a few people there. It was very productive. Lots of questions.
What seems to be the most common question you hear from somebody who's like, oh, no, you want benefits? And then they ask you, well, what about this? What about that?
Most common question we hear is, why don't you want to be an employee? Why stay flexible, or what it would do to us? And the easiest answer is, as an employee, you don't get that flexibility. You can't walk into a supermarket that you work at and decide you don't want to work at that location today. You'd rather work down the street. Or I only want to work 2 hours today. Okay. You don't get that flexibility as an employee.
This seems to me a kind of a David versus Goliath scenario. Would I be wrong? And I say that is because my information here is that gig companies are actually spending a lot of money in regards to this ballot question.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. It's the Massachusetts Coalition of Independent Work that's actually putting in the time, the effort, and the money.
Okay.
Yeah, the app companies are definitely backing them, but they're not putting in money like that. If they are, I haven't seen it.
Okay. So what is some of the, you know, every ballot question, there's a proponent and an opponent. I mean, what is the opposition saying in regards to not only giving benefits, but allowing the flexibility?
The opposition believes that you can get the flexibility as an employee, which, I mean, again, as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of hard for a company. It wouldn't make any sense for a company to sit there and allow you to work. As it stands, I work for multiple companies at once. At any given time, I could be on two or three apps at a time, picking and choosing what jobs I want to do.
Okay. What seems to be... Do you feel that this has a chance? What are you hearing? I mean, have there been enough signatures gained to at least get it to the first point?
Yes. Well, they're just starting the signature process now. It definitely is going to have the run that we need. It is definitely the popular option. Every driver that I talk to, no matter what company they work for, is all in the same boat. We all want to keep our freedom and flexibility. We don't want to be employees.
Okay. So you want to keep your freedom, which means you work when you have time to.
Correct.
So I would ask, what would you gain? So you're looking to get what in benefit? You're looking to get a minimum amount for health insurance. You're hoping that they'll pay a certain amount towards health insurance. What benefits are you looking for? You're looking for sick time?
And we're actually going to get all of that. We're going to keep our flexibility, but the companies are going to be required to pay a healthcare stipend. So for every hour that we're engaged, a minimum of 15 hours, it'll allow a stipend to be paid to us from every company across the board. So if I work 40 hours for Uber this week and 20 hours for DoorDash next week, at the end of the quarter, I'm going to get paid a stipend from both companies into a medical account. To be able to use for paid sick time, which is part of the Massachusetts law, paid Family Medical Leave Act, paid sick time, 1 hour for every 30 hours I'm engaged, so forth and so on.
Could this have an effect on the pricing of, right? Let's say I want to take an Uber, but it's if this passes, you know, usually what happens with a company or with companies or an industry is when there are things that are, there are stipulations put in place. Usually that fine, it's like, setting our minimum wage at $15 an hour. Who's going to pay for that? That usually will come at the consumer. Usually will end up picking up the bill because the cost of the product will increase.
Correct. And you are right. I mean, there's no way around getting a small uptick in charges. But if we're labeled as employees, that uptick's going to be even higher. Think about it this way. If I'm online, I got both Uber and Lyft open at the same time, I can take whatever call comes first. If I'm only allowed to work one app at a time, there's going to be less drivers on that other one. Your charge goes up on that side. There'll be less drivers out there. They're going to have to make more money.
Now, is there only a certain percentage of app-based drivers who would qualify for the stipend? Or is it a matter? Is a certain percentage, or will all drivers be able to be qualified for the stipend?
All drivers that work on average 15 hours a week, and 82% of the drivers that are out there are part-time at least 15 hours a week.
Okay. And you had now, have you had a chance to kind of look? Now, do you have health insurance through the Health Connector? Or would you hope that they would kind of have plans for you that were company specific?
It's going to be most likely going to be health, the Health Connector, but right now I pay for my own health insurance.
Okay.
And this stipend would help me pay that bill. So it's something I'm not going to have to pay out of pocket anymore because I'll have that income.
And is there a difference between Uber and Lyft when it comes to like benefits, or is it there stark differences?
It's the same. It's going to be the same thing across the board. Okay. So it doesn't matter if it's Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Instacart.
Okay. What do you feel? Do you feel that there are going to be any challenges with this that you're gearing up that the proponents of this ballot question are gearing up for?
I don't think there's any major challenges in the way. As I said, most drivers that are out there are backing this proposal.
I get that, but again, you have to think, is there are going to be, if you're able to get, if the Attorney General says, okay, we're going to put this on the ballot, mm-hmm. this is going to be one of five questions that we put on the ballot, there are going to be, listen, I'm one of those guys who, at 5-6 o'clock in the morning, when a state election comes around and you've got a particular ballot question, should there be alcohol in a shopping, in a like in a Stop and Shop or in a grocery store. I remember those, yeah. Because you're going to have folks who are going to be opposed to giving because they don't want to see the extra cost. They don't want to see the rideshare app go up because they like paying X amount to go somewhere. They don't want to see it increase by $15 or $20 because benefits are being paid.
Well, they're going to have to pay. Take the lesser of the two evils. It's going to go up no matter what we do. It goes up every year anyhow.
Yep.
The question is do we want it to go up a little bit or do we want it to go up a lot? Do we want the drivers out there? Or do we want to have less drivers on the road? Because, frankly, if this ballot measure doesn't pass, and if we're labeled as employees, I won't be driving anymore. And a lot of the drivers that are out there are going to be the same thing.
Talk to me about training. Would there be training that would be a residual of this benefit as well?
That's on the ballot. There is some question as to whether or not it will make it. There's two different versions of the ballot question going in. The training is the only difference between the two questions. The paid training, if it makes it onto the question, is definitely, it'll be safety, sexual harassment training, professional driving training, defensive driving training, and so forth. And it would all be paid for.
Okay. Now, would there be also, what guarantees are going to be built into this ballot question?
There's a 120% minimum, minimum earning based on the minimum wage. So, in other words, in 2023, it would be $18 an hour. The driver would make minimum for engaged time online. So every hour engaged means with a passenger or with a call on the screen. They would make 120% minimum for that hour. That's just a base. That's a floor. Realistically, we make more.
Does this affect tips? Would this affect your tips at all?
Nope. Wouldn't affect our tips at all. Tips is still 100% of what the customer pays.
Okay. It's just interesting. And just out of curiosity, I mean, is it an hourly wage that's paid for someone who, if you're, let's say you work 3 hours for a particular rideshare, whether it's Uber or Grubhub, whoever it might be, I mean, is a certain amount? I know that when you go into a restaurant, someone who is a waiter, a waitress, they get a meager amount, but their tips are, you know, a part of that. That is it the same for a driver?
It's similar. There's a lot of downtime between us. So they're only giving us this based off of our engaged time, which means time's on the call.
Okay.
And the reason they're doing that is because if you have, if I have multiple apps open, all the companies shouldn't be paying me to sit on that app and not take calls. So they want to pay the drivers that are taking the calls.
Okay. So are you part of the Massachusetts Coalition for Independent Work?
That's correct, yes.
Talk to me about the group.
The coalition was put together in order to combat the our attorney general, who wants to make us all employees, that decided to sue on the behalf of drivers without talking to drivers. But the coalition was formed for that reason. DoorDash, Lyft, Uber, they're all part of this, well, partnered with the coalition. But the coalition is made up of drivers like me and partners like us that work.
Now, you mentioned the attorney general. Mm-hmm. How does she play a role in this?
Maura Healey, our attorney general, is the one that started all of this by suing the app-based companies because she considered us misclassified as employees instead of contractors.
Okay. So let's play a little myth versus fact, if I may do so with you, just so we can better inform our listeners. And if you are just tuned in, we are speaking with Matt Rose, and he's providing us with a little bit of an education on a proposed ballot question. This could be on your ballot in 2022, which would give benefits and some flexibility to folks who work for app-based rideshare organizations, whether it's Lyft or Uber or Grubhub, you name it. If it's app-based and they're transporting something to you or for you, they're affected by this. Okay. So here's my first one. The ballot language would allow tech giants to pay workers less than minimum wage. Is that true?
No, they're paying us 120% of minimum wage minimum for every hour engaged. So that's definitely not less than minimum wage.
And is that, in your estimation, is this good? Is this something that could also increase over time?
I think it'll go up every year with the where we can see the minimum wages going up. I think we're going to see it go up every year.
Now, how long have you worked for the rideshare organization? Has it been a couple of years?
5 years.
Okay. So have you seen steady increases?
We haven't really seen much of an increase in a few years. They have gone up with fuel prices, but not much of an increase over the last 3 years.
And people don't realize that. I mean, you're using your own vehicle to get around. I mean, you're going to maintain your own vehicle, right? Breaks down, Uber's not going to, oh, yeah, we'll send out a truck. No, you got to take care of that.
Well, it's another item on this ballot measure, too, is they're going to pay us 26 cents a mile towards our vehicle maintenance. This is money coming out of their pocket into ours.
How huge is this?
It's major. That's, I can't tell you. And the 26 cents is after taxes. So we're still going to be able to claim our mileage like we do every year on our tax returns.
Okay. That's definitely good to know. The ballot language would remove app-based workers from legal protections against workplace injuries.
No, not at all. They're actually going to be offering us an insurance for work-based injuries.
Okay. And it's, again, knowing that you're working in four seasons, mm-hmm. you know, you never know if you're getting out in the middle of a snowstorm.
I do that all the time.
And you end up on your behind because you stepped on some ice. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, you're on the job if you're doing a delivery or you're giving someone a ride. So something to definitely keep in mind. Make sure I'm not asking you something that I've already asked you as part of my questions here. Companies can continue arbitrarily, unfairly, discriminatory deactivations.
There is actually a proponent in this where you'll actually be able to appeal any decisions for deactivation.
Okay.
Right now, we don't even have that. So if we get deactivated, that's it. We're deactivated. There's no way to get back on.
What is the process to find out why you're deactivated? I mean, do they send you a message or they email you? Or do you have any kind of a hearing
as of right now, they just say that you violated a term, part of the terms of service. They might mention what part of the terms of service, but that's as far as they go. Because of privacy rights with the passengers, they don't release individual information. And this will actually give us a chance to appeal it. And for many of us, we have dash cams in our cars that we can use to battle, which we can't use those now.
Okay. So here's a myth. It allows companies to cheat state unemployment system of hundreds of millions of dollars, allows gig giants to free ride on a system paid by law-abiding Massachusetts businesses. Fact or fiction?
It's definitely fact. Definitely fiction. I'm not 100% sure on how to go about answering that one. You know, we're not allowed unemployment, but we're working for multiple companies at a time. So who pays for your unemployment?
Do you play it? Do you have to? I would think that you'd have to pay quarterly taxes. If you're somebody who's upstanding, you pay quarterly taxes.
Correct. That is correct.
Who takes care of the unemployment? Is that something that Uber does? Is that something that you have to take care of on your own?
I have to take care of on my own. Okay. It's not something Uber or Lyft or any of them take care of.
So it sounds like you guys need to get extra money in order to have a good accountant, too, to take care of that. No Social Security contributions from Uber or Big Tech. Gig giants seek special exemption from paying into Social Security. Workers denied basic dignity in retirement. Is that true or false?
Social Security, it's a federal issue. And it's not one that's on the ballot measure or any state law. I honestly don't know what their plan is on that one. I do know this healthcare stipend, the stipend that they're doing, it's part of that is covered because it is money for any of that. And it is going to help us put into 401ks and retirement plans.
Do you feel that there's growing support, or do you feel that there are consumers out there that would tend to vilify you seeking benefits, your group seeking benefits?
I think there's growing
support. Because people can be funny.
Oh, people can be funny. There's no question about it. It is definitely a growing support. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is for the betterment of everyone in the industry.
And folks don't realize that it's, again, you're using your own vehicle. It's not like if you work for a taxi company where it's a vehicle that maybe, I mean, depending on who you drive for, who has a medallion, mm-hmm. That they pay for the taxi companies would usually pay for the repairs, the upkeep. It's your vehicle at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And if something happens, I mean,
if something happens, it's on me. I use vehicles to do all this work. I go through a vehicle every 2 years. And that's on me.
What would you say you put on a vehicle for miles? I mean, do you know what your daily allotment would be, or how many you would put in on a week or a month basis?
I can tell you it's usually around 60 to 65,000 a year.
Wow.
When I file my taxes, that's what I'm putting down into my taxes. That's what my QuickBooks shows me every year.
Okay. Tell me some of the unique things that you've been able to do as someone who works for Rideshare app. Have you ever had a chance where someone has wanted to go to, you know, from one state to another, and you were that individual who got the, you know, it was your turn?
Yep, I definitely have. I've gone from Sipawisset out in Falmouth all the way out to Maine and New Hampshire a couple of times.
Wow.
I've met so many great people over the course of the last 6 years, from the aides to the Kennedy family at the Kennedy compound out in the Cape. Musicians that are going out to the Barnesville County Fair every year, they actually use rideshare. But even some of the minor things within our own communities over the last year with the pandemic has been really tough. We didn't do a lot of, I didn't do a lot of rides.
Talk about that.
It wasn't there.
Talk about that. I mean, how you've had to try to sustain and earn a living during a state of emergency where you're told to stay home.
The freedom that I'm provided now by being able to switch from app to app to app. When the rides went down, I went to deliveries. I spent the first part of that pandemic shopping for the elderly, going into stores, picking up their groceries, bringing them to their houses, delivering meals for families. So while the families are home, I'm still out and about picking up their food, picking up their groceries, bringing it down to their homes and providing a service that otherwise wouldn't. One of the companies, one of the delivery companies, actually set up every small mom and pop shop. Everyone in the state of Massachusetts was set up on this. So your favorite little mom and pop restaurant down the street, we would go there, pay for your order, pick up the food, and bring it down. Even though they weren't in that company's system, we made sure that business had money incoming and people could still get their favorite food.
What's that like? I mean, talk about shopping for somebody. I mean, are you a good? Do you feel you're a good shopper? Are you going in, you checking the fruits for bruises? I mean, you.
Each company actually has little training courses for that.
No kidding.
So you're definitely learning a lot as you go. But I mean, I shop for myself as well. So if I want to buy it for me, I'm not going to buy it for you. You know, plain and simple. It is definitely interesting. Everyone is different. It's not always, you know, I might pick a banana that's too ripe for the customer. And it does happen. You see these little comments. Well, you know, fruit wasn't to my liking. You know, it's tough. We try our best to get you the best. If I would eat it, I'd give it to you.
Now, does a rideshare app have to deal with Yelp? Do you have to deal with Yelp?
No.
Okay. You don't have to deal with any people being critical of that driver.
You see it on local Facebook pages for the communities you're in, but that's about it.
Okay.
That's about it. And it's set up in a privacy manner. So even as a passenger, if I call you from any of these apps, it's a hidden number.
Okay.
So there's always a privacy. You can't track me down. I can't track you down. So when it's over, it's over. We'll see it in our app, but that's it.
What would you say was your most unique experience during the pandemic? Can you recall one?
I mean, other than, like I said, delivering to... There were a lot of elderly people that we delivered to. So we had a lot of sons and daughters ordering groceries for their parents at home. I have one woman out in California that orders for her father every week.
Oh, goodness.
And I would see that one come across. Delightful old gentleman, older gentleman in his 80s, mobility issues. And it was great to see that smile when I brought in his favorite ice cream into the house.
Now, could you be requested or like, no. So then you don't have that. You don't have, like, if you have a favorite customer, a customer likes you, it's like one and done, unless luck of the draw, you get them again in a couple of weeks.
And that's usually what it is. For the delivery services, we can usually see where it's going and where it's going, you know, where it's coming from, where it's going to. So we know.
We got a few minutes left here. And again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Matt Rose. He's a driver for a multiple app-based rideshare organizations, delivery drivers. And we've been here talking about a proposed ballot question that would provide benefits, a little bit of flexibility, because the idea is they don't want to be an employee of the company. They want to have that flexibility to be able if they want to work for Grubhub tomorrow, and then maybe the next day they want to work for Uber, well, then they want to have that flexibility and still also be able to, if they have the sniffles or there's something wrong with them, they want to be able to matriculate enough monies to go see the doctor. If they need medicine, they need, you know, that they can go pick up their prescriptions at the pharmacy. Is that accurate?
That's correct, yeah.
We got about 3 or 4 minutes left here. Is there anything that we haven't touched upon in this conversation, but we want to make sure that we don't overlook it? Because, again, these are folks who are going to probably get inundated with this information if it becomes one of the questions that end up on the 2022 state ballot.
The basics behind it is it's historic in its own right, but it's allowing us the protections of an employee without losing our flexibility. It's giving us the benefits that we don't have now that we're paying for out of our pocket. As it stands right now, I'm leaving for New Hampshire on Wednesday. I've had to work extra hard to be able to take this vacation time so that I had the extra money. With this ballot question measure passing, now I'm going to be able to schedule my vacation time and have that money put aside that's not coming out of my pocket for it.
Right. Now, and I want to make sure I'm correct here. So the ballot question also would help you in regards to get the mileage. to be able to 26 cents.
26 cents per mileage for all miles engaged.
Which would help you maintain your vehicle.
My vehicle.
You don't have that right now.
No, I do not.
Okay. So these are some important things for you to, if this is something you want to do for a long time, you like the flexibility and it allows you to, you want to take a vacation and go to New Hampshire, you can step away as long as you got that cash in your bank account.
Correct.
So be it.
Correct. Exactly. And it's a benefit to us and a protection to us that we don't have now. That's what this is going to allow us.
Okay. And if folks want to find out more information in regards to this particular proposed ballot question, how can they do that?
They can go to the Massachusetts Coalition for Independent Work website, masscoalitionforindependentwork.org.
Yep. Yeah, and I also think there's, tell me if this is correct, www.independentmass.org. Is that possible?
I'm not sure if that's one of their actual...
Okay.
Independentmass.org, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Just want to make sure we're giving out the correct information as we're informing them. And, you know, whether you're an opponent or proponent, I want to make sure that we're getting the information to better inform our voters. That's what today's segment with Matt was about, is just to better inform you about this possible ballot question. And I think it's intriguing in knowing that rideshare apps was vital during the pandemic.
Yes.
Knowing that this is something that could benefit those who had to be on the front lines as drivers.
Yep. We did a lot of time over the pandemic, too, bringing people to chemo appointments, radiation appointments, multiple other things. We do medical rides all the time.
Sorry, I'm like a traffic cop here. I apologize if I'm Matt and Spinning. What are you doing? I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime.
And best of luck to you and the group.
Thank you.
You got it. We are going to step aside, but we have one more segment up. Talk with the folks from True Repertory Theater in just a moment. You're tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
August 14th and 15th at D.H. Smith & Sons is a no-tax, no-problems weekend. D.H. Smith & Sons is ready with a large inventory of equipment and product on hand. Purchase a new zero-turn mower from Aaron's Gravely and take advantage of the tax savings during tax-free weekend. D.H. Smith & Sons is fully stocked with commercial units as well as homeowner-grade lawnmowers with quality to keep you going year after year. While you're there, be sure to check out their selection of Aaron's snowblowers. Pick out your snowblower or zero-turn mower now, and they'll hold it until tax-free weekend for pickup. D.H. Smith & Sons will deliver and service all equipment they sell. Stop into D.H. Smith & Sons tax-free weekend and cut out the state sales tax. Open 7 to 4 Saturday, August 14th, and 9 to 3 Sunday, August 15th. Located in the two Big Red Buildings, Route 139 and the Marshfield-Pembroke Line, next to Cavillion's Car Care. Online at dhsmithandsons.com.
This is Chris Atwood from 95.9 WATD. Join me this Friday from 6:15 to 10 p.m. for The Alternative, when we flash back to 70s punk, 80s new wave, 90s Britpop, and new music from today. The Alternative, this Friday from 6:15 to 10 p.m. on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we're back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk. As I like to say, and I've said it more than once over the nearly 10 years that I've been behind, well, not necessarily behind this very microphone, but other microphones as well, doing this radio program, is this is the dessert portion of the show.
Oh, good.
Yes. Of course, that voice was Victoria Bond.
Hello.
And the other voice that you've heard chime in is the, I believe, the founder and the artistic director.
Yes, sir.
Of the True Repertory Theater. Mm-hmm. R-E, not E-R.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And they're here to talk a little bit about Into the Woods. Okay. It's a musical. It's a musical. And I'm shocked and chagrined because I've promoted True Repertory's past performances. I think all of them were straight plays.
Yeah, we've done Christmas Carol with music, but it wasn't something that was considered a musical.
Mm.
It's been a while since we've done a musical.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've done several things with Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall any musicals.
Nope, never.
And I think you've got 3 decades under your belt.
I do, and I've never done a musical.
You've never sung a song, eh?
Nope, I don't like musicals.
She does now.
Oh, yeah.
She admitted to it on Facebook,
I do.
Oh. Yeah.
No, I really
am. So are you going to sing the lead, or are you going to be labeled ensemble?
No, I'm a small little part, thank the Lord, because nobody wants to listen to me sing for more than 2 seconds. So, yeah, no,
but if you
I'm
do it like
it's
it with
very
an Irish
small part.
Brogue, maybe. I'm like,
it's a very small part.
Oh, really?
It's a good thing. Yes.
I like those.
It's a good thing.
Small parts.
It's a good thing for everybody involved.
Like 4 or 5 lines, and you're done.
And you're done.
You're done.
You're in, you're out.
I've done many of those.
It's all set.
Many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to play the stepmother?
No, I'm all set.
Okay. Damn.
All set. I'm a better observer than I am somebody's. Nobody wants to see my
Listen,
big butt up on stage.
Where the musical is concerned, I'm a better observer, too.
So, oddly enough. So I did Annie.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who's playing Annie?
Oh my God! I had multiple parts. I did the NYC part.
Yeah.
The Hooverville.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I did that. I was mm-hmm. Eddie.
Oh, nice.
I was the judge.
Oh.
Right at the end, you get the judge.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sure. One time I actually missed my mark. I don't know if you get it. And you could actually see it because they videotaped that night, and they're like, "Oh, is the judge here?" And you could see this. You could see the curtain in the back, and you see like the wave of the curtain. I'm running. I pop out.
He'll be right here.
Yes, it was towards the end. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I do.
That's funny.
And for some reason, the director of that particular thought it would be funny for me to be Perkins. And technically, Perkins is not what a guy.
Oh, so they changed the gender?
Yeah. They certainly did.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes, it was very interesting. But I got up and sang, "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow." Who knew?
This is what happens when you start to talk about it. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you're in another show.
Yes, it's like I'm admitting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did Gypsy. I was
really?
Uncle Jocko. Yeah.
Oh,
so I think you ought to come and do musical.
No. I would be the guy in the first front row watching. I would be that guy, that person. So how did it come about? Again, there's usually a process as to how you pick your performances. Here we are. We're kind of coming out of a pandemic kind of sort of.
Right.
Right? So Into the Woods.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I said it's been a while since we've done a musical. And actually the last musical that we did was this. We did it in 2016. And I did it also in 2005. I think that we actually started rehearsing this show last summer. We were supposed to do this last summer, and then COVID hit, and we had to shut down. But it's a great show. It's been around since the late 80s. It gets produced quite a bit. I think a lot of times people think it's sort of a children's show because it's based on all of the fairy tales, but it's really not. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of darkness. It's also very funny, but there's a lot.
Yeah,
to
the
it.
Promotional
a little bit of everything.
Yeah. The promotional material would tell me where there's a lady dressed in red with a basket heading towards the woods. It would tell me. Right. It would tell me certain things.
Yeah.
Well, and it's become clear to me in working on this show that this is a show that people who do musical theater ache to do this show. This is why it gets done so much, because it's a very complicated show with a lot of very complicated music, and for people who sing, it is sort of like, I would say, like the gold standard. It is it's the musical. If you talk to anybody who does musical theater, they have a part they want to play in Into the Woods. Mm. You know, it's
really,
yes,
it's part of that
absolutely.
Canon.
But see, I've done my share of, and I've never once exclaimed that I want to do Into the Woods. And I've done my share of, I love musical theater, but there's a degree of difficulty that you don't have in a straight play, and that is you got choreography, mm-hmm. and you got to make sure folks can sing.
Yeah.
And if you got people, you got too many people with left feet, and some folks who, you know, might go off key a little bit, mm-hmm. a little flat.
Yeah.
Then it could be a challenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The music is very, it's very intricate. It's Sondheim. It's incredibly complicated. There's a lot of ensemble numbers that are really...
We joked
difficult.
About that. I can see Victoria Ensemble.
Yes. I can proudly say that I am the William Hung of this production.
So you got to do like I did in fifth grade. In chorus, I would stand next to the loudest kid who sang.
And I do.
And I would just kind of lip it.
I'll do some of my singing for you right now.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's me mouthing the words.
That was good. That's
it was so good for radio.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That was awesome.
Aren't you glad we came?
I am.
Didn't
thrilled.
You miss us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, again, last time we actually did something. We did it for Mother's Day Basket.
Yes.
Remember, we promoted that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and that was a real big success for us.
Yeah.
That was, just a few months back.
So, as you were starting the tease, so what is the premise behind Into the Woods without giving away too much of the story?
Sure. Well, it's a musical that's based on all of those classic fairy tales. The Baker and the Baker's Wife, Cinderella, the Witch, Little Red Riding Hood, Cinderella's Stepmother and the Evil Stepsisters. And... you know, the beginning, you get a lot of exposition in terms of what's currently going on in each of their lives and the situations, and the beginning of the show really speaks to desire and what these individual characters are looking for and hoping to find, and then very quickly into the show, they all venture out into the woods to try to find their heart's desires, if you will. And I think one of the big themes of this show is, and it's said in either the script or the music itself. You know, really careful. Be careful what you wish for. The grass really isn't always greener, and the things that you think that you want aren't always necessarily mm-hmm. the things that you want.
Right.
So you really see this journey with all of these characters, and then there's four of them primarily that you see throughout the entire show, and it takes you beautifully from the beginning of their journey to the end, and how they all end up. And it's... it's really got a little bit of everything in it. Love, death, revenge.
Comedy.
There's a lot of comedy in there.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I think all of those different types of themes that are relatable to anybody and everybody.
So what's interesting is you both are listed as actors in this. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the direction. Talk to me about the direction of this. Who is directing this, and what has it been like?
It's being directed by and starring Donald Sheehan.
Yeah, right.
The producer, the director, the star.
The tired one.
Yeah.
So you're doing all that?
So I am directing it as well as acting in it. Yeah, it's I'm playing the role of Cinderella's prince and a wolf. It's not a huge role. So it's just I think it's just sizable enough that I was able to do it and also direct the show at the same time.
So you're kind of like the Kevin Smith, Quentin Tarantino, whatever you want to put on it. You're behind the camera going, no, do this, do that. But then you're also in front of the camera and you're going, all right, I can do this, I can do that.
Yeah.
It's actually a little bit of a mind bend to watch. And, it's not the first time that I've watched you direct and be in a show, but I'm always kind of fascinated by how you manage it because he's definitely, as the show's sort of unfolding and playing out in front of him, it's a totally different mindset and a totally different eye, and he's clearly watching it as a director. And then, trying to jump in, it's tough. It's really like a whiplash, you know? And so we're really hopeful that he's going to learn his lines by opening.
He's not off book yet?
I'm just going to come out with like a big, I'm having our set person just build a big, huge book, and I'm just going to turn these there big pages and don't no, pay kidding. Any
he
attention
knows his
to
lines.
Me.
He knows trying, all the lines.
Well, I think, is it true that usually if you're somebody who loves being an actor, you try to not only learn your lines, but also anybody else that you are in a scene with, right? You try to.
Well, you tend to just from, hopefully rehearsing it enough that you really can't help it, and you know, at least you know what has to happen in the scene for the play to move forward.
Yeah.
So that if all else fails, you can, just throw the iron at the person's head and you can move forward, whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Now, I think it's worth noting that, in fact, that this performance of Into the Woods, the musical, can have two sets of Fridays and Saturdays, right? August 20th and 21st, and then the following Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th. And all these performances are going to be taking place at Gray's Beach.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And I believe one night is actually going to be a fundraiser.
Yes. So Saturday the 21st, actually before the show, we'll be doing a fundraiser, an ALS fundraiser. We're working with ALS One out of Massachusetts. So when we did this production in 2016, excuse me, the gentleman who played our narrator in Mysterious Man was a friend of mine. His name is David Bernardinelli. And shortly after the show closed, probably within about 6 months, sadly, he was diagnosed with ALS. And then sadly passed about 6 to 7 months later. So it was always my hope that, in the back of my mind, thinking about doing the show again, that we would, absolutely want to dedicate this to his memory, but as also as part of our Project 719 community outreach program that we have, we're trying to do something with every show to raise awareness and funds for a specific cause. So I felt it was important, where David had been involved with this show previously, that we do that. So we're partnering with ALS One. Some of the cast from the show that David was with is coming in to sing. Ooh. Some of the cast that we have now has also offered to come in and sing with us. There'll be dedications, speeches, and all different kinds of way for folks to donate funds to ALS awareness.
Yeah, from my notes here, there'll be a number of food trucks. Is that true?
We'll have some food trucks. Yeah,
Ice Bucket Challenge. He already mentioned as far as songs being sung by
Raffles too, right?
Yeah, raffles and 50-50 raffles as well. And people will have the ability to, at a certain point during the fundraiser, to go to their phones and directly donate to ALS One if they wish to do so.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you been over to Gray's Beach at all? Do you know Gray's Beach?
I've seen pictures of it once.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It really is beautiful, and it's a lovely park setting, and so people will bring their own
chairs
and sort of camp out on the lawn, and it's nice and safe for people that are concerned about COVID, and it's a great way to kind of get back into live entertainment,
It's been a slow process, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
it really has.
It has. It really has been.
And you guys, are you looking forward to this? I mean, is this like the first big production since COVID?
Yeah.
It's the first. It's our first one out.
It's the one that they that the theater company had to put a pin in when COVID became an issue, and so it's the production that's first on the roster after post pandemic. Yep, wow. Absolutely. So, yeah, and it's I can't stress how important it is for theater to come back.
But you were in the Beale. It was at the Beale House.
That's where we work out of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what made you one day say, let's go to Grace Beach? What, was it just an opportunity that, that arose and you're like, oh, we've got to seize this, do an outdoor theater?
Yeah, well, I think we were looking for different ways to collaborate with various organizations within the town. Okay. The Reed Community Center oversees Grace Beach. And we hadn't done anything outdoors in a while. And I kind of felt like it was really the perfect setting. And I also thought it was important, you know, if we're going to do this outdoors, let's try to keep it in the town that we currently do our regular main stage season in. And like Victoria said, if you go down there, it really is gorgeous. There's a stage that sits right in between the beach and the grass, and it's just a really great night out.
Yeah, and I mean, it, you know, the God bless the taxpayers of, you know, the town of Kingston that, you know, paid for this stage to be built, and, you know, they are excited to see, you know, a full-on production happen on that stage, you know, because as far as I understand it, I don't think really one has happened yet. So this is really the first full-on, you know, production that's going to occur there. So we're thrilled to be, you know, the people bringing that to the residents of Kingston and other communities, because everybody's welcome.
Yeah. We were down there last Sunday rehearsing, and it was great because one of the selectmen in town who we had been working with to make this project happen happened to live right across the street. She sent me a text, and she's like, oh, I can see you guys out there. It's so thrilling to see the park being used, and can't wait for the show. So that was a really great show of support.
Yeah.
We are really excited. You know, there's a lot going on right now a couple of weeks before a show goes up. That's very traditional that everything's happening from every aspect of the show. But it's it can be stressful, but at the same time, it's really exciting and invigorating, especially, you know, for being away from it for almost 2 years.
Yeah, and we definitely will be back at the Beale House, our regular home, after this production, and we do have a full season planned. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's lots to see this season.
Now, is this particular stage covered?
No.
Okay, because I'm going to, please forgive me, but I'm going to use the R word. What happens? What happens?
If it rains, is that
inclement
what you're trying
weather.
To say? Inclement weather. Inclement weather. That's the phrase I've been using.
Yes. So I said our word, so I didn't jinx you.
We also have the we have scheduled two rain dates, Sunday the 22nd and Sunday the 29th. So if it happens, announcement will go out on our on our website, our Facebook page, the various social media pages that we typically announce on. So if people miss a Friday or Saturday that they had paid for, they'll definitely be able to come to a Sunday show. Yeah. The Sunday shows, however, would be at 3 in the afternoon. The Friday and Saturday shows are at 7 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. And just a bit of clarification. So for these regular Into the Woods shows, 7 p.m. curtain goes up.
Yes.
But what we were talking about as far as the ALS 1 at Grays Beach, the get-together, the food trucks, the ice bucket challenges, that's from 5 to 6:30.
Correct.
We want to make sure we get that information out there.
Yes, thank
properly
you.
And not misinform anybody.
And that's just on that one
just
day.
Just on Saturday the 21st.
Just that Saturday. It's only the one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to find out about purchasing tickets, some of the other fun stuff, True, TRUE, Rep Theater, that's with RE, not ER, .com. To find out more about what's going on with this particular performance. Now, we know that you two are in it. Do you want to, anybody else that you want to mention who's in this?
This is an incredibly talented cast.
Like a group of all-stars?
It really is. Everybody's yeah. such a wonderful singer. I mean, I got to tell you, I went to the first rehearsal, and I left in a panic, and I was like, I can't do this. These people know what they're doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
They're singing.
What yeah, they I know. But I'll let you.
No, it's our associate artistic director, Paul Noonan. You know, all three of us are in it together, which I think is great. And it makes getting things done easier because now we don't have to get on phone calls or whatnot. We're just all there
in
the room.
And
we'll, we'll point at each other. And it's like, yeah. We kind of already know what we need to talk about and what needs to get done. What I find really interesting about this is that, you know, sadly, there was probably about 50% of the cast from last year's show that was not able to come back. So a lot of these people are brand new to True Rep, and faces that I really hadn't seen in shows on the South Shore. I mean, our Cinderella came in from Bristol, Rhode Island. The guy who's playing Jack, he came in from Providence, Rhode Island. Victoria.
Victoria Hamilton plays Cinderella.
Wait, there's another Victoria?
Yep. Yes, there is another Victoria. Victoria Hamilton. And Lisa Beausoleil, who you will have seen on the Rogue stage.
Correct.
She has joined the cast to play the baker's wife.
Yeah.
There's no John in there, is there?
John Beausoleil? No, but I might try and drag him into it. I might just try and nagle him to come.
It is a great cast. It really is. From day one, rehearsals have been going great. There's just a... we did the first table reading. Remember that conversation we have? There was just an energy about it that was very different than energy we had felt in a while. Not good or bad, just different, you know? And that energy's just kind of sustained throughout the entire rehearsal process.
How important
process.
Is that? How is, as a director, how important is that to you that there is an energy and there's not a lull and that it's kind of like, oh, all right. And
it's critical.
Yeah.
I think it's just absolutely
like
critical.
Like the lifeblood of a performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a big cast, so it's, you know, you want to create that sense of community and, you know that people are kind of there for one another, supporting one another. And I really do. I feel that we have that all the way around on this show.
Absolutely.
How about costuming? How about some of those other fun things? I can't leave that stuff out.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about costuming, and Victoria can probably speak to this as well. We were having some fun last night doing some shopping, but we've, you know, normally this is done, the traditional way to do this is sort of the images that you find when you open these fairy tale books. We're going very contemporary day with this, so costuming is all very 2021. You know, you'll still be able to identify who each of the characters are, but I'll just give one example and probably the one that's most recognizable. You know, normally when you see Little Red, you think of her as in a red cape. Well, our Little Red is in jeans and a red leather jacket. So, you know, we've kind of taken this and brought it to 2021. And, very contemporary day costuming. Very minimal set. But we feel an effective set and kind of right for the environment that we're in. So
You've done that before. You did. Did you take a classic and make it contemporary?
Yeah.
And not too long. It was kind of a Christmassy thing,
We've done that.
He does that.
True Rep likes to do that.
He likes to do that.
He does. He does. He likes to put a spin on things.
I don't forget many things. And I remember that when you said, we're going to go contemporary. Oh, he's done that before.
Yeah. Well, and I think especially in particular for this show where it's my third time doing it.
You want to switch it up a little bit.
From a directing perspective, I got to do something different to keep myself engaged and challenged. So.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Any butterflies? Any butterflies about, you know, Tech Week? Tech Week and...
No, not at all.
No,
or you know, your dress rehearsal.
I don't think so. I think there's just so much going on right now that for me personally, I really haven't had time to stop and really think about it. We've just kind of been moving. I mean, the closer you get to the show, there's just so much more kind of comes at you.
Yeah, I'm terrified.
Are you really?
I'm absolutely terrified. Are you kidding me? It is so foreign to me to step out on the stage, open my mouth, and sing.
Ensemble.
Oh, Lord.
Ensemble.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah.
Listen, you just stand next to the loudest person.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry.
Don't let her fool you. She's doing a great job.
But the thing I didn't tell you is I actually got caught.
Did you?
Oh, I did. Oh, yeah. With the teacher, you're going,
Yep.
She walked up next week on, come here, Mr. Tachi. Put me off on my own little spot off on the floor so she can walk by every now and then and hear some horrible noises coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I never stood next to Lucky ever again.
Not so lucky.
Not so lucky, he wasn't. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here.
Now, how many instruments are in the... Because this is the other thing. There's a...
Live orchestra.
It's a live orchestra. I mean, this is a full-fledged musical. Whoa. There's a live orchestra. I know. That's why I'm terrified.
We have people swimming in the ocean. We really don't. But
how many instruments are there? Is it eight?
No. It's either six or seven.
Seven.
I can never figure out the number because I don't know if people are including the pianist along with it. I think we have six instruments.
I thought it was seven.
And the pianist. Okay. It could be.
I thought it was seven.
Whoever shows up, have a good time.
I know, right?
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Is there a true pit or not really?
No.
It'll be off to the side.
Off the side.
Off to the side. I mean, it will be different in that regard, too, because it's sort of a non-traditional set, so,
So this Sunday, they're coming down, and we'll be doing something called a sits probe, which is you work with the music director.
It really sounds like a horrible medical procedure. That's what it sounds like, the sits probe. It doesn't sound pleasant at all. So what do you do with this? Because I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you just go through the whole show with the orchestra.
Oh.
Yeah, you sing the whole show with
you
the orchestra.
You sing the whole show with the orchestra. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Well, okay. Don't literally do this, but break a leg.
Thank you.
Hope you guys have a fantastic showing. And then it goes well. Again, check out their website, True Rep Theater, TheaterE.com, and get tickets. Check this out. It's theater here on the South Shore, Grays Beach. Victoria.
Thank you.
Donald.
Thank you.
Thank
sir.
You for joining us.
Yes, appreciate thank it. You, Kevin.
Into the Woods.
It.
Sing it. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great night.